The season's underway. Hoops Fest has come and gone, and now we are fully immersed in NBL 25. But it also feels like it's the start this weekend, because now we all get to see NBL action in our various home cities across Australia for the first time this weekend. It is a wonderful time to be a basketball fan. It's a wonderful time to be a sport fan in Australia. It's always the best time of year, late September. But this weekend, NBL basketball is back in Melbourne. It continues on in Perth, but Illawarra is going to get some action. Cairns, we're back at Hobart's My State Bank Arena on Saturday night with the Grand Final Rematch Part 2. We're even heading back to Auckland and, of course, Sydney on Sunday. It's a wonderful time of year, and it's great to be back with you once again on the Roundtable. Julie Marcus with you. Matt McQuaid is with me. Matty, what a great start to the season, Hoops Fest. I have to admit, it exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, it went off, didn't it? It was fantastic. And congratulations to everybody involved in Perth. The league, of course, for putting it all together. And I've said this numerous times, that the thing that got me, it wasn't just a case of throwing five NBL games out and saying, show up to the public. It was building an entire festival around the whole concept. And, you know, the activations and the sneaker, whatever it was, Sneaker Fest, I think it was, and, you know, and the musical acts that they had, and the boombox at RAC and all this stuff. Then you had a WNBL preseason tournament, and then the kids as well, the juniors got their chance to shine, and people, you know, would have showed up there that probably wouldn't have showed up otherwise, just because it was part of this great festival of hoops. So yeah, outstanding from Perth to run it, and in the way they did, a great success by all accounts. So it'll be interesting to see. Look, I think it'll be different next year. I think they'll do it again. I think they certainly showed the concept works, right? So I do think it'll happen again. I would like it to stay in Perth. I would like Perth to establish themselves in the same way, as I've said before, that Adelaide does with Gather Round in AFL, and Brisbane with a Magic Round in NRL. So, there'll be some tweaks. I mean, I got asked a question on Perth Radio, actually, which I thought was a fabulous question, about the timing of it. You know, do you keep it in round one? Or given that the WNBL preseason literally had just started and we really didn't see the best of the best, that was probably the only negative you could say of the WNBL, because the girls just, you know, they just weren't ready. Some of them, you know, the imports hadn't arrived, and it was so early in the preparation for all of them. So do you potentially move Hoops Fest to, say, October, November, and, you know, maybe make it sort of a round five, round six, something like that, so you can incorporate the WNBL teams and ensure that they've got their entire rosters, or as much or as close as they can to their whole rosters, because you really want to showcase the stars. So that would be the only thing I would say about that. But other than that, that's just one thing. Other than that, I thought it was a great success. It was so much fun. I was lucky to be a part of it. I got to call a couple of those WNBL preseason games, which I really enjoyed. It set the platform for what's going to be just an incredible year, NBL 25, and round two coming up. Boy, there's some tasty games on tap for those. So looking forward to all of that.
We'll get across all of that later on in the program. But this week, we're going into Coach's Corner for the first time this season. We're hopeful that we can get as many of the NBL coaches on throughout the year as we can. The invitation is open to every NBL coach across the country. Whether all of them take us up on that is a different story entirely. But yes. Hello,
well,
Adelaide.
We know one, but two, including the guest we've got. But there's another one that's put his hand up already, and I know of another one as well who is more than happy to come on. So, yeah, I think we'll be okay in that regard, Julian.
I really, really do. It'd be great if we can. And we're going to start with, well, who else were we going to start with? The man himself, Brian Gorgian, the head coach of the Sydney Kings. He's going to join us in Coach's Corner when we return on the Roundtable. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Julie Marcus and Matt McQuaid with you. Round two, of course, coming up this week. It's a weekend of rivalries. And, Matty, even though I've gotten the opportunity to be up close and personal with the throwdown over the last couple of years, I still believe that Sydney-Illawarra is the greatest rivalry in the NBL. And this weekend, what a tantalising fixture we have, because it's the perfect opportunity for us to go into Coach's Corner for the first time. And, Matty, I don't think there's any better candidate we could have picked.
Not at all. It's the man who he is without a doubt the greatest of all time that we've ever seen in this country. His record stands alone. It's a remarkable record. So, yeah, it's great to have him here.
We speak of the one and the only, the head coach of the Sydney Kings, Brian Gorgian. Gorge, welcome to the Roundtable.
Nice to be a part of this. And looking forward to the chat.
I want to start with the Freeway Series, and obviously for you, you've now been on both sides of the divide, the Sydney-Illawarra divide. What does it mean to you for this matchup coming up this weekend, the first time that you're going to be coaching against the Hawks since you left a couple of seasons ago? Does it have that added emotion to it now? Is it now that you've seen the rivalry from both sides, what's your take on it?
Well, as you're saying, you know, everybody that plays somebody tough feels like they're the rivalries, the biggest rivalry. I'm not comparing it to others, but I know that, you know, in my time in the NBL, when I was with the Magic and we played the Tigers, that rivalry was epic. And it was epic because you have events, you have games that mean something. You know, it's not just location. So in this now, and you look at, you know, since I've come back after the COVID and went to Wollongong, that the games between ourselves and Sydney were epic, and a lot of emotion in those games and a lot of great games. And the two teams, if you look over the course of time, the Wollongong Hawks have been in the top four, three out of the last 4 years, and the Sydney Kings have been champions twice in that short span. So those games, I remember when we came up and played, you know, we're playing in the Sydney on their court in a packed house. And if they win, they move to the championship. If we move, we get them back at our place. And then, you know, for a chance to go to the grand final. And the game was epic. We were 15 points up, and they came back and beat us with virtually a 4-point play from J.A. And I remember being teary after that. That was the end of my time at the Hawks. And, you know, it was like the Kings always were the team standing in your way if you're going to win a championship. And then from the Sydney standpoint, being here now, the fact that I was the Hawks coach and now I've come across here, and now the job that Tatum has done with the Hawks and where they are, and they've been together now for a period of time climbing that ladder, and the next step for them is to win a championship. So the games are it's very good teams with a lot of history. And, you know, now you've got the coaches, you've got the organizations have had words. The games have been epic, you know, buzzer beaters, the inbounds play, and Bruce hits it at the buzzer. You know, being involved in games like that just make this, again, an epic series. And a lot of emotion from the ownerships. I always remember Smitty, when we were down there, always had a little something to say to fire things up. And, you know, we went out in there with a, you know, really desperate to win. So I'm expecting a big time clash in a big time game. And you look at right now, I'm looking at this weekend, and I'd say if you said right now coming into it, the evenness of the competition and all of these teams, there isn't, and all the coaches are talking about, you can't go anywhere and expect to get a win. But if you said to me, who are the top three teams in the competition that you're up against that you got to get through. I'd say two of them are on the table this weekend. Perth would be right there to win a championship, and I think they're predicted one or two. And then I think the Hawks are positioned to take that next step and try to win a championship. So we're playing two of the top, I think, the top four here back-to-back early in the season.
I just want to go back to Hoops Fest, and you've had a couple of days now to reflect and watch tape after the win against Adelaide. How satisfied were you with the overall performance?
I was really pleased in the fact that, you know, everyone's talking about our talent, but I just felt coming into this, when you look at Melbourne, when you look at the Hawks, when you look at the synergy that isn't there yet. You know, we've got, I'm very talented, very happy with my team, but we've got a lot of new, we have five guys that have never played in an NBL game before. And I felt like when we went to the Gold Coast to the Blitz, when we got tested, we went to water. Bad shots, didn't get back on defense. And I think the Phoenix game was a good example. You know, we jumped out, we hopped on top of them, and when they made a run at us, we went to butter. But in that game, we got up big, they charged us and got ahead, and we didn't let it go. We brought the group back, we came back and fought, and then they did it again and went up five, and now you're going into the fourth quarter, and we haven't been good in this situation where you're playing possession for possession and you've had a lead and now they've taken it from you. And I really liked where our group went in that fourth quarter. We grinded out the defense, changed some philosophy on the on ball, started to pack it more and not rotate. And I thought we kept running. We scored twice after I remember a key one, after they scored and their bench is up, we inbounded it, ran the ball right down their throat and laid it right back in. They were still standing from the last possession. And I felt like, you know, we were still exploiting it, but if we didn't have it, we went through process and got a good shot and grinded out that win. And it's the first game of the season, and I just feel like every game is a battle. And that team, I felt, was really well coached, really knew had a philosophy how to handle how we play on ball defense, and really exploited us in a lot of ways. And but I thought we made adjustments during the game, so I was pleased with that. If you said the negative of it, the strength of our team is going to be our talent depth wise. I look at this and I go, these teams have eight very, very good players, but we can go to 12. And so what was disappointing is each time I went to the bench in that game, for whatever reason, it didn't click. So if you look at our starters, the highest plus minus in the history of the club, which was amazing, was his first game, was plus 39 for Buchwald. And all our starters in Cam had plus, and then we were negative after that. And so what has been a strength in the preseason is the contribution that we got from the bench. So, you know, playing a few minutes, coming out, coming back in, it's something that you got to get used to. And we got to get, and the staff has a responsibility there as well. But what I'm saying is that part of it was a mess. And I thought that really hurt us.
Aside from that, and you did go into depth about it in that post-game press conference, Where do you want to see improvement, moving forward? And also, how long do you think will it take for this team to sort of really develop that identity, you know, that you've been so famous for over the years?
Well, I do think, you know, and there was comments made, you know, that the Kings of last year's team, you're always taking, and I'm not going to talk about their strengths, because we're running some of the stuff that they've ran so well and the coaches have done such a great job. But if you look at last year's team, where they disappointed was, I call it the grit area, you know, the pickup of the ball, running your lanes hard, communication on the floor, blocking out, diving on the floor, the 50-50 ball. That's an area that we've really talked about. And if you look at the, you're always looking at the champions and going, this is what you need to be good at in the league if you're trying to win a championship. And Tasmania and Melbourne were the best two teams in the competition in the last season. So that's an area where we're really focusing on. And I think you can make ground there quick. And if you ask, I mean, you take the example of Jalen Adams, a lot of people commented on that it wasn't his 25 points, but he had some bite to him. And that was missing last year. And I think Tui and, you know, I mean, you go right through them. I think the group played with a spirit and a tenacity that isn't fully there yet, but is definitely on the improve. And we want to move forward there. And the ability to play together that you're talking about to mesh, I just think it's time. It's repetition. It's playing. Mm-hmm. And a lot's been said about that we, if you, and I know talking, I get Smitty and, you know, now Robin being, you know, the lead owner in this, her vision, it wasn't, you know, slap together a team and win a championship. You know, she's very community minded. She wants something, that we're involved in the community, that it's a group of guys that are going to be together for a while and we're going to grow together. And so it's this process that you're talking about. I think it's going to be as time goes on next year, the year after that, I think the group's going to get better and better and better. You know, we've got six or seven guys we signed Cooks here for long term, and we've got a bunch of young guys underneath him that we see being here for a long period of time. And you look at Kelly, you look at Tyler, you look at Spurgeon, you look at J.A., who knows what happens with Tui, but all of those guys, and I don't say next star, or they're kings, and they're young, and the strength of our team should be the growth. We're not going to be out recruiting and trying. We're trying to grow the group we have. And so in this process, Matt, I am still saying that the goal is to win a championship. But whatever it is, I would be very up if this team isn't better by the All-Star break, the halfway mark, sorry, and then better as we get to the playoffs. And then when the season finishes, and if we can get that championship moving into next year, better again. But yeah. The synergy that Melbourne has, the synergy that Tasmania have, it comes from time. Comes from events, close games, being together in competition. And we're going to get better in that area than we should, because we're, if you say those top four teams, I think we're the bottom in games played together.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that about Robin and her focus on the community as well as obviously on the court. It kind of harkens back. I couldn't help but think about the Magic in particularly, obviously, when you started in 92, when they became the Magic. That was a real kind of focus, you know, the community aspect of it, and then building through that and obviously what you're putting on the court. I mean, do you feel that with what you've got right now and what you will have a couple of years down the track potentially?
That, for me, that was the attraction of coming back. I mean, when she spoke about, when we talked in the recruiting aspect of it, you know, spoke with Luke and Bogues and then Smitty and had the communication and then talked to, you know, the owner. And when she spoke about her vision, it really excited me. And it was very much, as you said, and yeah, you know, she wouldn't, I don't even know if she knows the Magic, but it was very much Magic like. And back, you know, Melbourne, the Tigers, getting out in the community, getting the community behind the team. You know, we're touching the Sudanese community. We're touching the local associations. And I think I hope that, you know, and I'm not, again, if you're being disrespectful in any manner, Chase Buford was an incredible coach, two championships in 2 years. The last coach, and you know, I'm horrible with names to pronounce. I can tell by, you know, what I've walked into that he knew what he was doing. But in some form, they're hired guns. You know, they come over, they're Americans. They come over, as soon as the season finishes, they're back home. And then they come, you know, maybe for the start of the season again. and then it's a short period of time and they're gone. This is, you know, staying there when the season finishes and getting out in the communities. We're into the Sudanese community. We're into the associations. We brought those kids in and worked all the NBL1 kids out. And going to other countries and playing games. But her vision isn't an all-star team where what does it cost? Get me the best players and I want to win a championship. She's, you know, she wants to win. And she wants a professionally well-run team, and she wants it organized, playing well, and winning. But it's the, her vision is much bigger than that. And if you look at and listen to what I'm saying, it's how the team was assembled, and it starts with, you know, Xavier Cooks. It wasn't about the 16 points and 12 rebounds. 100%, you're getting a great player, and hopefully the best player in the league. But what was missed with Xavier was he's the face of the organization. He's the face of Sydney. He's, you know, and it's what he is in the locker room. It's what he is upstairs with the sponsors. It's him, the person in the face of this that needed to come back and then build around that. And then from getting him, we went out and we went young. We went to, you know, back, we didn't really stay on the free agents list. We went into the, you know, the colleges in America and got the young ones that we felt would be kings for a long time. And we were in a battle for those. And once we got Xavier, we got him. And we feel like we've got that vision that she talked about. We've got a nice starting place.
And it's interesting that you're kind of on this extended road trip, you know, the way things have worked out with playing Adelaide at Hoops Fest and now round two on Friday night, going up against the Wildcats back at RAC. Is this a really important time for this group, given that you've talked about the fact, you know, five guys hadn't played NBL before, and it is a really new group. You know, the core group that the Kings have sort of had over the last, you know, three to four seasons really is kind of thinned out. So has it been important for you, particularly, you know, this week, in having more time kind of grinding it out with the guys, watching a lot of film, getting some role clarity and that kind of thing?
Ben, the point you're making, it's been really helpful.
Yeah.
It's hard. Nobody likes being on the road forever.
Yeah.
But us eating together, going to practice together, doing things at night, hanging out together, I really believe the guys like each other. So you fast circuit this thing by being around each other. The Gold Toast, Andrew Bogut was at every game. He was around our group, around our guys. He's a very influential and important piece that we have that a lot of the other teams don't have or they don't have. And then we're here in Perth. And, you know, tonight we've got a great night plan through – Luke Longley, who's another one, again, that's really an important piece. So they've had an opportunity to be around the guys, come to practice. The guys have had an opportunity to be around each other, get to, you know, you can have a coffee with a player. You can talk to them afterwards. You know, they're not just going home. So there's been an advantage there for sure. And we've tried in every way to take advantage of it.
Mm. And we've already sort of touched on it, but I just want to sort of get a bit of a deep dive into the two games this weekend. And as you mentioned, talk about a pair of blockbusters. I mean, they couldn't have scheduled it any better from an NBL fan perspective. The Sydney-Perth, you know, you talked about Sydney-Illawarra rivalry, all that you well know through Paul Smith mainly, but both teams have been so successful over the last few years. Sydney and Perth at RSC, which is probably going to be sold out. Bryce Cotton in mid-season MVP type form already, it appears, and they've recruited extremely well. And then coming off that short turnaround Sunday afternoon, early Sunday afternoon, 2:30 game against the Hawks, who themselves look phenomenal with that, you know, massive front line with Froling, Lock and Ulbrick, Darius Days, who you're probably familiar with out of Shanghai, and then that backcourt of theirs. Starting out with Perth, I mean, what's What are your thoughts on that particular matchup on the floor and what you need to do to what would be a huge W at even at this early stage of the season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, watching, and it's been a great opportunity too for all our guys to, you know, the Hoops Fest and the Blitz, seeing all the teams and being in the same, you know, area. So seeing all those teams play in person, watching them on film, then coming here in the same thing in Perth, you know. So it's been a great opportunity. And my point as well as what you're saying is the standout. Perth is probably, you know, when you look at it and watch the last game they played, the standout team as far as the synergy in which they're playing with together and the firepower they have. And then, you know, you're always, it's kind of like the Patty Mills deal with the Boomers when he comes in, you know, they're getting older. They're not young men anymore. And you go, when's that, you know, little step slower going to happen? Cause it father time creeps in on everybody. And as you saw at the Olympics, Patty hasn't lost a step and not an ounce of it. And then you come into this and you go, God, you know, he looks, you know, Bryce looks like he just stepped off the plane for his first year. You know, he's quick as lightning, unbelievably confident with the shot, and playing with a lot of passion and emotion. And I think, you know, again, I've watched Perth for a long period of time. The pieces around him now are as good as I can remember. So, you know, to key in on him and lock in on him, you can really pay the price because it gives all these other pieces more space. So they are an extreme challenge going in that venue for our guys, a lot of them for the first time. And again, I've played in a lot of venues with 25,000 people in them, but they're supporting and watching the game. You know, when we play 25, it's not, you come in here and there's 13, 12, whatever it is, standing room only, rabid Perth fans. That's that's a different scenario. So we're going to get tested in every manner. They're a really, really good basketball team, really well coached. And I think this is one of the better Perth teams I've seen for a while. On the flip side, I'm really excited about my group. And, you know, I keep saying, you know, I mean, we're all day by day touching each thing. We play, we get on a plane and fly and get back to Sydney. We'll probably get back to our place by 5 o'clock and play the next day in the afternoon. We won't have touched a freckle on the Hawks. So, you know, and they're a completely different, like you said, with that front line. Now you're dealing not with quickness, or you're dealing with a power game. They pump that thing inside and they're really strong, and they've got a lot of juice after what took place last year and the momentum last year. So we're going to get challenged in a different way in that game. And it's in a rivalry and it's a home game. And a lot of our guys have never been in our venue. So I'm not, you know, I keep saying with all of this, you know, and that, well, it's this, and you know, you figure out what the challenge is and the best way to approach it, and just say, good, you know, it's good. I've got depth. I've got good guys. They're working their asses off, where there's a togetherness and a cohesion about them. Bring it on. It's good. And whatever comes from it, you know, we're going to continue to grow. But I like my group, and I you know, and being around them this week and at the Blitz, you know, the fondness for them grows, like how they handle practice, how they are at the meal table, how they are with people on the street. We got some really good dudes and guys that listen, want to learn, want to get better. So I'm proud of them, and I'm looking forward to being with these guys in battle.
Gorge, I want to go back to when the Kings first made the approach to you to gauge your interests in coming back. What was your reaction when you first got that call? And take us through the decision-making process that you went through in making the choice to go back to Sydney.
Well, it's when I left, I mean, I take you back a little bit. When I left, I was really happy back in the NBL. And it's a long story and I'll keep it short, but when I was in China, I needed I've never had an agent in my life, but I needed an agent because I didn't speak Chinese to talk what the heck was going on when I moved from a club to another club. And so for 7 years, I've been with a guy from Milwaukee that virtually grew up in China and spoke fluent Chinese and became a soulmate. And very smart guy. And he had this vision of a Euro League in Asia. And it was going to include, at the end of the day, Australia and New Zealand. And there was an agreement, if this ever takes place, if you ever get this done, I'm in. And in my second year at the Gong, in the middle of the season, he goes, Gorge, this is going to happen. I want you to be my guy. And, I really was into this into this vision. So that's why I left the Hawks. And then when I went there, we finished our season in front of 55,000 people in Manila in an incredible 7-game series. It was unbelievable. And due to the league is still growing, still moving forward, and I'm hoping for that same and I wanted to be a part of that, bringing Australia into that and having us someday, the Sydney Kings play Beijing in Beijing, Korea in Seoul. They come here and play it, that type of, and I think like they have in Europe, Asia needs it. Our national team needs it. It was a vision. It was a passion. And that team got spit out and we went to the World Cup. The World Cup finished and I sat for the first time in close to 40 years, not involved in basketball for 10 months waiting for the Olympics. During that period of time, watching and being around the NBA, there was nowhere I wanted to coach more than back at home for my final years of coaching. And I just love what's going on in the NBL. I love being a part of the national team. I loved when I was a part of the Hawks, but you're sitting there and you're going, I didn't want to be the guy that sat there and everybody, every time a guy lost a game, oh, Gorgian's, Gorgian wants the job. I wanted to be in a situation where I was needed and it was like, and I would be good for, and usually at the end of the season, there's two or three where this guy's going to go, they need, and again, it might be good for me. It might not. And as that thing, I won't go, as it was coming towards the end, there was a couple teams that I thought it might work. And I was thinking, I was thinking about that. There was a little bit of discussion. And what I'm trying to, as the end of the season was approaching, the Kings were the furthest thing from my mind. I never thought. And then it ended, it wasn't a great year for them, but it's, they've had a couple championships, that's not there. And so you're looking, you're thinking, and all of a sudden that thing, it finished nasty. And, shortly after the finish, I got a phone call and I was like in shock. It's like, would you be interested? And I'm, it caught me. It was like a punch in the side of the head. And it was like, yeah, I would be. And then put the phone down, talked to my wife and my daughter and everything. And now it's like there has been no job offer. It was kind of like, are you interested? And then you're kind of like, God, everybody, you start getting excited, but it might not happen. And then it happened from that first call real quick, Luke Longley conversation. And then I was put on a phone call with Robin. And not only was I excited prior, but once I spoke to Robin, it was like, where do I sign? And, like I said, it was an incredible fortunate for me. And then, once I signed it, you know, from the, that moment, it's just been, you know, unbelievably exciting. And then coming back to out living outside of Melbourne in Australia, I've only done Sydney. So, you know, coming back and it just, all those, there were so many great things. You know, you go back to Sydney and it's unbelievably great memories. You see people, you know, we won three championships together. We're involved in five grand finals. There's a lot of love, a lot of great friendships. And I felt wanted, and I felt the people I was around were excited that I was there. And I feel the same way in return. So that's you know, I don't take it for granted. I feel blessed, and I feel so fortunate. I feel so fortunate to be in the NBL right now. And now, I mean, I know I'm going on, the fact of being in the Blitz and being up here at the Hoops Fest and seeing what a great job the NBL has done with making our game a world game. And I'll never, you know, when I came to Australia, you know, and I was in the Australian footy watching all that, and we're Australia's sport. We're the best, you know, we're Australia's sport. And I always think, yeah, you are, but we're a world sport. And now, when you watch the game being played, the players on each team, you know, Sudanese players, players from Spain, Australian players, American players, European players, we're touching the globe, Asian players. And then you look in the stands, New York Knicks, Oklahoma City, Europeans, you know, we have encaptured. And when I talk to those people and everything, besides the basketball, can you imagine what those guys, those scouts think when they come to Perth or when they come to the Gold Coast? Hey, I don't care if I'm watching Twiddlywinks. I want to come back and do this again. This place is incredible.
Just following on from that, and I'm wondering if you reflect upon that, on this, you spoke about the great memories you had with Sydney when you were here from 2002, 2008. I'm just wondering, given the way that whole thing finished, as successful and incredible as that period of time was, that last season, and then the way the whole thing ended with a company that shall not be named and the person that shall not be named, basically destroyed the league, or the club rather. What did it mean to you to get this kind of a second chance more than 15 years later from when in Sydney, from when you left that the first time under the circumstances that you did?
I tried to describe to you, but it's funny when that, it didn't only happen to me, that was the worst. Absolute worst because of the way it went. But I've, you know, involved in the Eastside Spectres becoming the Magic, involved in the Magic becoming the Titans, involved in the Titans going down and coming to Sydney, involved in the Sydney Kings winning three championships, five games, and it imploding. Then going to the Dragons, winning the championship, coming from last to first, done. When I went to China, I remember thinking in my second year, why am I so, this isn't the NBL, this isn't, you know, and I'm away from home, why am I enjoying my basketball so much? And it was because that the fear of the team folding, are my players going to get paid? Are we going to be okay? Are the sponsors happy? Are they there? That was gone. That was finished. And I didn't realize the toll that was taking on me. For, you know, I used to ask at the Sydney games, you know, send Jacob upstairs on a Wednesday, at, you know, Carfino in a Hawaiian shirt, and there's 1,000 people at the game. Are the sponsors there? Is the thing, you know? So going through all that, and then coming back, and now all of that is gone. You know, all of that is gone, and you're back in a city. And I felt like when I was in there that initial time, this is where I'm going to finish. And when you get this thing, and we do, we have it going like Perth has it going. We're going to win it, or we're going to be in the grand final. We're going to be in the top four. It's dusted. we've got this thing it's cornered, and the ride of a lifetime. And for that to be taken away, and now you get a second opportunity at it, and you know the side that could bring you down is covered, is a really, really exciting, especially at my, you know, I want to leave, you know, like being in a strong, back in Sydney, being in a, and leave a strong legacy and also a powerhouse. And there's no excuses, you know, all the other sides of it that could hold you back that you used to worry about on the initial start to this are gone. And that makes it much more enjoyable, much more possible, and really, really exciting.
You've done just a couple more questions, mate. You've done just about everything you can. You've said before, you've accomplished more than anyone else has in coaching, basketball coaching in this country. As you begin your 25th season, which completely blows my mind as a head coach in the NBL, what is it that, I'm just interested, what is it that keeps you going and coming to work every day with, you know, what I see is the same energy that you've always had?
I think, you know, I'd use the word change, that, you know, I haven't coached the Magic for 25 years. And I've thought a lot about what you've said, because when that goes, that's the time when to call it quits.
Yeah.
But I've been constantly, if you think about it, since I've been constantly challenged and dealt with change. So you're at the Magic. Now you're at the Titans. Now you become the, you got to get the Kings going. Now you become the national coach. Now, now you go back to Melbourne and you do the Dragons. Now, you know, I'm overseas and I'm in Beijing, and it's like the Red Army, and I'm the only Westerner there. And it's, you know, Yao Ming, Gigi Wang, Joe Chi, you know, all these things. And you're the only Western guy in there. There's juice flowing through your body, let me tell you. And then you do Japan. Then you're in the Philippines. Now you come back, you're the national coach again. And it's like I've constantly, different players, different staff, different style of game, grow or you're out. And that has really energized me. And now I feel, I honestly do, I feel like it's my first year in. And I promise you, people say you're the GOAT or you're the 25 years old. I feel like it's my first day. The coach from Adelaide came up and he shook me and he goes, my first game, and I'm coaching a guy that's coached like 10,000 games. You know, what I get game one and you've got game 10,000. And I said, coach, I feel like this is my first, you know, he looked at me like I was nuts, but I first game back with the Kings, I felt as nervous as I did the first time I coached with the Kings the first time. You know, you don't think back, oh, I won 3 championships. Championship. No one gives a shit about that anymore. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's a new day, new challenge. I think that keeps you young. And then the other aspect of it is when you're involved in basketball or you're involved in sport, I love being around the young. And I think it, you know, when it keeps you young, you know, that, you know, every day I'm around guys that are, you know, 19-year-olds to 31-year-olds. So I'm, you know, I'm around the young the whole time, and my whatever bloodline I've got or whatever, my dad was similar. I enjoy that. I enjoy being around the young, learning from the young, and change.
Just finally from me, what's a pretty simple question? What's the most important thing you've learned over the course of your journey as a head coach?
I think the first word I'd say is listen. You know, I guess, you know, one of the things in what really changed me a lot was when I went to China and I couldn't communicate. So, you know, how do you get somebody's respect, you know, work ethic, be the first one at the gym, be the last one to leave, how you use, you know, use the computer, show them the bit. I've been challenged in ways like that. But one of the things is when you went to China, I needed to listen to Yao. I needed to listen. They spoke English. How do you do it? It's not me coming in and saying this is how. They don't want to hear that. Here, you add a little spice to what we're doing. But I had to learn. I had to listen. And when I became the national job and I came back, Joe, Patty, Baines, I had to do a lot of listening. And so my mindset when I took over the Boomers was clarity, how I use my voice, and listen. And so if I had to, you know, be around competence and always, and it's not hard for me to do, find people that are better than you. And I have a group, and I constantly learn from them. And again, if you added that when I'm talking to the players now and I'm around Xavier Cooks and I'm around Jalen Adams, I always ask, what do you do? How do you do it? So again, even when I say with the people above me, what am I doing? I'm listening. And as you can tell in this interview, I can run my mouth, I can talk. An important aspect for me as I've grown is to be around people that are better than you and listen. And then in my working environment, listen more.
And I guess just one more for me as well, Gorge, and thanks so much for spending so much time with us ahead of a big weekend for you and the club. You said when you took the posting back in March that you were planning on this being your last coaching gig for your career. And after hearing everything that you described about the way that the job came about and the opportunity came about to go back to Sydney, do you feel now it's a case of serendipity almost that this opportunity came up at the time that it has, and for you to finish up what's been an amazing career with the club that in a lot of ways you're most identified with here in Australia?
Yeah, I do. And it's almost like you get what you deserve. And I think back on, you can say whatever you want about me as a national coach or me as an NBL coach or a junior coach or women's coach. I got a picture the other day from a guy when I was in the Gold Coast. He's sitting there and he walks over to my table at the Blitz. And he's like 60 years old, 61 years old. And he goes, do you remember me? And I look at him and go, no. And he hands me this picture. And I'm at St. James College. It's 1978. I arrived in 1977. Oh, and I coached his basketball team to the championship. And he said, man, you introduced me to basketball. We didn't even know what it was. My kids, some of these guys in here still play Monday night. You brought basketball to us. Thank you. And he was 61 years old. And I'm saying to myself, you know, and I think back on this, I've given everything to this game and it's given me so much love back, but it has been, I've been hardworking, dedicated. I love Australia. I care about Australia. I care about the national team, the development of the kids I've put in. And, with whatever you, it's like a lesson in life, whatever you give, you get back in spades. And so here I am at 70 years old, coming down the backstretch, and I get the national job back and get to represent my country and get a medal. And then now the number one, to me, the best, the biggest city, the greatest city in Australia, and you get to coach and finish with the Sydney Kings, a job that you half did. I mean, I know I get teary I promise you, I scratch myself and I learn as I go, don't take anything for granted. But I do, I always, my grandkids and every, you know, my dad always taught me, if you put in, And don't worry about anything else and give it your all, you're going to get it back in spades. And a lot of the things my dad blessed me with, lines like that, have come true. And this is to me that.
Gorge, it's been an absolute pleasure to get the opportunity to chat to you about the season ahead. And it's really special to see you back at the Sydney Kings. It really does feel right as a basketball purist and a basketball fan, and we can't wait to see what you do with the team, not just this season, but in the seasons ahead. Gorch, and thanks so much for joining us here on the Roundtable.
Thanks, man. Appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. Julian Marcus and Matt McQuaid with you. And that was, it is always an engaging, engrossing chat, Brian Gorgian, anytime. But, geez, that was, I was just captivated sitting back and listening to that. Not to pump up the tyres too much, but I really enjoyed hearing that. And the way that he described coming back to Sydney and having that full circle moment, yeah, it really does feel like for him, you know, this is a second chance for him, because we all know the way that it ended the first time around in 2008. He gets that second chance now all these years, what's it, 16 years later, to come back, yeah, and the Sydney Kings are now playing at a world-class NBA-style arena. They've won two of the last three titles. They're going to be packing out houses all over the place. And, geez, it's just, it makes you excited to see what Sydney's going to be capable of this year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously someone who was such a big part of that 07-08 team, and you know, I mean, everybody knows how close I am to him, and I knew exactly what was going on. You know, long conversations with his wife many, many times. Amanda is just a wonderful person, and, you know, watching how they all, the pair of them, sort of held everything together with that team that still is my all-time favorite team. Didn't win a championship. They went 27-3 under the most ridiculous of circumstances. You know, players not being paid. We all know the story. Superannuation not being paid, and but they decided to hang around and you know, sort of thumb their nose at everything that was going wrong. So for him to leave that, and at a time where he's publicly said this, that, you know, the NBL was just about dead for him. You know, that he thought, and it really was. I mean, the NBL was in crisis from that point when the Kings left, and then obviously the ill-fated Spirit thing. You know, I mean, I'll never forget the game that the Spirit played the South Dragons at the Sydney Entertainment Centre. There were less than 1,000 people in the place, and he walked out, and I was on the media bench at the time right next to him, and he was just about in tears to see how far basketball in Sydney had fallen. So he's gone from that to going away, you know, for so many years, coming back to Illawarra, and now, but then coming back to a Sydney program that, is really gone to, you know, several different levels since he was here last. And he loves this place like you wouldn't believe. You know, he's obviously Melbourne means a lot to him, but Sydney, I think, is just something special for him. So there's no question about it. And you can hear it in his voice. He's the greatest communicator I've ever seen, you know, in terms of anybody in the sport of basketball that I've been around. So it's not surprising. You do tend to kind of just listen and just take it all in, because that's just him. It's just how he is. So, yeah, I really appreciate him coming on. And, yeah, look forward to seeing that opening game. What a game to kick off the homestand for the Sydney Kings this season. We'll get into it in a minute against the Illawarra Hawks.
The thing that I found most striking about that, and you always get it when you hear Gorge speak, but it was raw and it was real. And yeah, I really do feel like this is the perfect full circle moment for him to come back to Sydney. And he said it when he was unveiled back in March, and you were in the building when he was unveiled as the coach. That,
yep,
this isn't a time limit. He's got a 3-year contract, but there's no set limit, but he wants to finish as a King. I think it's a perfect place for him to finish that career. And I would dare suspect that if there aren't a couple more championship banners hanging in the ceiling by the time that day finally does come, I would be very, very surprised.
Yeah.
Very surprised. And before we get to this weekend's games, let's go back a little bit and just have a quick glance back at Hoops Fest. The one and only question I really wanted to ask you about this, so before we get into the games themselves, is when we do see Hoops Fest return next year, and we will it be in Perth?
I hope so. I can't imagine that it wouldn't be, to be honest with you, because it was such a success, as I mentioned earlier. So I guess that's, I cannot imagine it won't be back, and I cannot imagine it won't be in Perth. And And as I said, they'll make some tweaks to the concept for sure. As I mentioned before, they got to make sure that the WNBL is represented better in terms of the playing talent that was on display. Nothing wrong at this stage of the preseason at all with, for example, the Sydney Flames sending what they called their future Flames squad. And I'm very familiar with all those girls because they're all out of the NBL One East program. So, and then Perth did the same thing. You know, the Lynx, they had a whole bunch of girls from NBL One West play. So that's probably the only tweak. Other than that, they showed, look, we all know that, you know, Perth, they do it right. The Red Army showed up you know, and they embraced the concept. And so, yeah, I hope that, yes, it continues. And then obviously, yes, that Perth gets to keep it. I know there's been a bit of social media about maybe you send it around different locations. But, yeah, for me, I like the idea of having it in one place. I really do. And then making it a tradition. That's me with my historical background, obviously. I just think it's really important. It needs to happen.
My takeaways from it was, and we're going to see more uniformity with the NBL and the WNBL in the years to come.
Exactly.
It did feel a bit like an afterthought, the WNBL this time around. And that is purely because of where it was in the season.
Yeah, the timing.
If they moved the season a bit earlier to try and uniform that or move Hoops Fest later, I don't know which way they could go. But that is something that, if this is to really fire on all cylinders, I think needs to be tweaked. The second thing is, I think Perth's earned themselves a second dip at it, because if we are to keep Hoops Fest at this time of year, think about it. Who else could really host it at this time of year? Does Adelaide really have the facilities for it? Possibly, but would you want to go to Adelaide for that, considering they already have Gather Round? How much investment will the South Australian government give to that? You can't really bring it to Victoria at the moment because it's all footy. Yeah, the AFL swamps everything at this time of year. Even when you don't have Melbourne-based teams, as we've seen this year, it still swamps everything. Sydney, you can make the same case with the rugby league. Then what are you left with? Brisbane? Could it work in Brisbane? I'm not so sure. Tasmania, I don't think would be able to suitably host it with the size of My State Bank Arena. Would you have it in the north and the south? It really comes down to, if you're going to have it at this time of year, for mine, Perth is really the only place that you could have it, with the possible exception of Adelaide, but I don't think South Australia will have the funds left over from what they put in to Gather Round in order to throw it at basketball like WA does.
Yeah, 100%. That is the key, right? And you just mentioned Brisbane. Yeah, sure, Brisbane could host it. You know, they've got the venues to do it, but problem is Magic Round. So you're competing with that. If you move, and as I said, if you move Hoops Fest to, say, round 5, 6, or 7, well, what else is there going to be? There's nothing in Perth that's going to compete with it. I mean, the AFL will be long finished, so you got the Eagles and the Dockers out of the way. And, you know, we know that basketball has established this real niche in the summer, which I never thought was going to happen. I've always been a traditionalist and always, you know, basketball's a winter sport, but you can't deny what we've seen over the last, you know, few years in particular, with how it's gone to another level and it's established itself as that, you know, summer sport. You know, as you know, you look at, well, what's the competition? I don't rate most of the competition in summer, in all honesty.
Yeah.
Particularly in Perth. So, yeah, I agree. I think Perth's got so much going for it. It's a great city. I mean, I love Perth, and, you know, I've been lucky enough to be there a few times, and love the place, love the passion, I've always said, that the Red Army has for basketball. And clearly the WA state government's going to support it. So let's make it. You know, if Adelaide's going to have the Gather Round and Brisbane's going to have Magic Round, well, let's give Perth Hoops Fest.
You talk about Melbourne being the home of basketball, and it is the heartland of basketball in the country.
Yeah, the Mecca.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's historical too, by the way. Yeah. That just goes back to the 50s and 60s. That's how far back that goes.
But you can't theoretically lob Hoops Fest here in the middle of September. It's just not going to work. So then what are you looking at? Okay, well, do you want it to coincide with school holidays, which is what you would ideally like? So, again, you're either lobbing it in the middle of finals and grand final time in Melbourne, or do you move it to Christmas time? And then there's a whole nother set of challenges that present itself with that. So the more that I thought about it, the more I think, set it up in Perth, let the WA government really nurture that as their thing, because they're not getting Gather Round. It's not moving from Adelaide.
No, that's right. Soon. I can't see that happening.
They're not going to get, I know they're going to get the North Sydney Bears over in Perth, which is weird to say out loud, but they're not going to get Magic Round. I don't particularly see them looking to make a play for Unite Round from the A-Leagues. What else have you got out there? This can be their thing. And that's where I really do. And I'm sure they will. That the NBL, and particularly with the uniformity of the WNBL, find the exact right spot for it. I'm not sure if last week was the exact right spot for it. Do you look at maybe sometime in October? Do you look at maybe the week after the AFL Grand Final? But those are just minor little tweaks. No, there's, look, the best part that we're coming here today and we're saying there's only minor tweaks needed. It's nothing major. We don't need major surgery in this thing. It's just a little tweak here and there, and it'll be firing on all cylinders. And it showed as well with the venues. The venues work.
Yeah.
And it was great to say, I know it's HBF Stadium now, but I was going to call it Challenge Stadium. It was great to see that back up and running as well as an NBL venue. Yeah. Who was the big winner, aside from Perth, who was the big standout winner club-wise from the weekend?
The biggest winners, I think they were the two teams that Brian Georgian talked about in our interview, and that was Illawarra and Perth. I thought those two teams really stood out with the performances they put on for different reasons. Obviously, we talked about Bryce and what he did, the 8-3s, and his attitude, I mean, you saw it watching it, he was so fired up, and I'm thinking he's doing this in game one. So he's coming in with a big point to prove this season, and it's clear that he's not happy about the fact that he hasn't won a championship since 2020, and he wants to lead this team to the promised land. And, you know, I think he also understands that this team, and we kind of talked about it in our season preview show, that the way they built this team, this might be one of the better teams, and Gorge talked about it as well. This might be one of the better teams, and it's saying a lot, you know, considering the championships that he's won with the players alongside him that he had. But still, this might be one of the most talented groups, man for man, that he's had. And I think, you know, I've always spoken about the need to take pressure off him, you know, because especially, you know, during the season, so that when he gets to the playoffs, he's the Bryce Cotton MVP, ultimate nuclear deterrent, as I've called him, that is just so explosive and so unstoppable that you try and key on him. If he doesn't have the same talent level around him as he really hasn't had in the last couple of years, you're going to be a bit more successful with it, because he'll have to have played huge minutes through the season. Come playoff time, he's not going to be quite the same guy. But now the talent that this team has and the way they came out and you know, just absolutely took it to the Phoenix, I was so impressed. And again, you know, look, Keanu Pinder's not going to hit 4-3s every game, right? I mean, that's kind of, I think that's an outlier, even though we know he can shoot the thing. But I mean, he was outstanding. You know, Dylan Windler is going to be a star in this league. I mean, I know he only had 6 points, but he grabbed 10 rebounds. We know he's an absolute fiend on the glass. So that's going to help Perth dramatically. Then you had Doolittle with 13, you know, which I've already said I thought was a great re-signing. So, and then they've got unbelievable, their bench depth is terrific. Benny Henschel, a star in the making, no doubt. And Ithan Almansa was terrific as well. And, you know, we're very excited about him and the progress that he can make. So they're loaded. You know, they are absolutely loaded. And I think Bryce knows it. And I think that's why he was pumped. You know, he was really fired up. He's always engaged with the crowd, but that was kind of a different level, I felt. So that's Perth. Illawarra were just sensational, you know, and you talk about a team that's loaded. I mean, they are absolutely, especially up front. I mean, that front line it's pretty scary, you know, when you look at it. Yes, they were playing a very undermanned Cairns team, obviously, and probably a Taipans group that, and you know, my friend 40 won't want me to say this, but they look, they're going to have their challenges this season. I think they're going to be better than what they showed in round one, though. But this Illawarra team made a real statement for mine. And I felt like, you know, that, as I said, that front line they've got, when you bring in Darius Days, Gary Clark was a terrific player. Darius Days is an upgrade. He's an upgrade, and that's scary. That team went to the semifinals last year. And, you know, they bring in Trey Kell. I still have my, you know, questions about whether he can be that full-time floor leader. I love him. I've always been a big fan of his, but I've always thought of him more as a kind of a combo guy rather than a straight-up point guard. And we know Tyler Harvey's at his best kind of having someone else create for him, or he's not a guy that's, you know, he can facilitate, but he's more of a guy that's going to create for himself, right? So he's more suited to that two spot. So that's the only question mark I have. But they're deep. They've got that confidence that really came from what they did last year and what a story they became, you know, sort of storming into the Final Four as they did. So, yeah, I thought they kind of followed on from that in game one against the Taipans. And, you know, they've got a big double themselves, you know, home against, I think, Brisbane. And then, obviously, talked about it, you know, that Sydney-Illawarra battle, wow, on Sunday. That is going to be something else and a real kind of precursor to, you know, what's going to be a fantastic season.
My big takeaway from the weekend was that Tasmania is going to have its biggest challenge yet
in order to stay
where they are. And game one was a perfect example because I don't think they did too much bad. But Melbourne just had way too much firepower when it mattered most. And if that's Melbourne doing that to you, you haven't got Perth yet, you haven't seen Sydney yet, you haven't seen Illawarra yet, you haven't even seen Southeast Melbourne at their best yet. So, and Adelaide as well. They, after a horror start, they managed to give the Kings some problems. So that really reinforced to me that even though Milton Doyle went for 23 points, Tassie's going to have a tough go of it.
Yeah, and I've said that. And look, I still believe in them. How can you not believe in Scott Roth and what he brings to the table as a head coach, one of the best head coaches ever? You know, and he's been here, fourth season. So, yeah, I mean, the Jack McVay aspect of it to me is why they're not, you know, that the it's, you can't say they won't win the championship, right? But it's the biggest struggle they will have since coming into the league. There's no doubt about that because they do have a target on their back. You know, the caveat, I suppose, is that there's a couple of things to consider about that game. One is that they were incredibly undermanned. Losing Sean McDonald is going to hurt them a lot more than people think.
Big time.
But then obviously no Craig Sword as well. Even though I have a real issue, not a real issue, but I've got a bit of a concern about not him as a player because he's got a terrific pedigree, right? I think it's more the fit. I think they should have gone bigger for that import spot because I think, or at least more in the 3-4 mold, let's say. Because really, it's a very small import trio, you know, with Doyle and Sword and Crawford. And they lose a ton of scoring with Jack. And not just a ton of scoring, clutch scoring, right? The ability to just, and we've seen that, we saw that with him time and time again, the ability to just hit those shots when the team absolutely needed it. I'm not sure they've got someone on that roster at the moment, maybe Jordan Crawford, but then you sort of look at the size issue. But I kind of look at them and go, yeah, they just don't have the overall depth of talent. But as I said, no Craig Sword. They were coming off that really tough road trip to Singapore, that the FIBA Cup that they were involved with, the Intercontinental Cup. But it is a significant challenge. But having said that, it's Scott Roth, man. You know, he's shown us no reason to doubt him. It'll be a fabulous performance by him to, if they, you know, even getting to the grand final would be special, I think, for this group.
Just quickly, you did send me a text early Saturday evening. It just went one word, bullets. Brisbane.
Yeah.
They cleaned it up in the fourth quarter, but I'm not going yet. It's one game. And they closed it to within four. I'm not going yet.
Yeah, you still got stock in Brisbane Island, or Liam's stock in Brisbane Island.
I'm still holding stock in the Liam the Liam ASX. And Adelaide, if they can clean up their start, they'll be looking pretty good. Geez, that looked like it was going to be an absolute disaster for Adelaide in the first quarter on Sunday, yeah. But they did clean it up. And there's some intrigue around Adelaide now going into this weekend and the weeks to come. Mm. And speaking of this weekend, it is in some ways rivalry round, because you've got the throwdown, we've got Perth and Sydney who hate each other, you've got Tasmania and Melbourne who can't stand each other, and then you've got, of course, the biggest rivalry of the weekend, the New Zealand Breakers against the South East Melbourne Phoenix, which follows on from the Sydney Kings and the Illawarra Hawks.
Illawarra Hawks, yeah.
I mean, what a weekend. What a weekend.
It's fabulous, isn't it? They've done very well with the scheduling, because you're right. I mean, you could term it rivalry round for sure. You know, grand final rematch again.
Illawarra Brisbane as well, the two clubs from 79.
Yeah, that's right. The foundation, the only two remaining foundation clubs. So yeah, it's fabulous, and hopefully the crowds really get out there and support it. I know that from a Perth perspective, I'd be shocked if they had less than, let's say, 12,000 for that Sydney game. I mean, hey, for the Red Army, any chance to boo Brian Gorgian, they're going to take it.
Yeah.
He's going to hear it, right? And then obviously, look, my State Bank Arena sellout, forget about it. They'll be hanging from the rafters in that one. Cairns against Adelaide, I think, is a really interesting one, as you mentioned, with Adelaide, you know, kind of a fascinating look for them. Cairns will be desperate after getting blown out by Illawarra to start in the right way on their home floor. And then Kudos Bank Arena is going to be 10,000 plus, and that might even be a little conservative. Sydney Kings, Illawarra Hawks, both teams championship contenders, and it's that incredible rivalry, the Freeway Series, as it's been called. And then New Zealand, you know, seemingly left for dead, you know, based on what we saw mostly in the preseason against a Phoenix team that was, you know, a little disappointing first up. So, and they'll want to get off the mark this season against a Breakers team that will want to, you know, they need to. It's a club we've spoken about that doesn't really have too many Kiwis in it, to be frank. The all European coaching lineup, and so they've got to kind of reestablish themselves a little bit with the community, I think, and you know, it's a good way to start if they can get a W.
The Phoenix and United Thursday night. Well, it'll be tonight when the time you hear this. It goes out, of course, Thursday morning. To pull the curtain back, we were recording this last night, but the Phoenix and Melbourne United, they're tracking for a sellout at John Cain Arena the night before the public holiday down here in Melbourne. There's only general admission tickets left as of Wednesday night. A couple of single seats in the lower bowl, but that's about it. I think it's a masterstroke to put on that particular night. It kicks off the weekend, especially with so many interstaters, as we know, down here this weekend for the AFL Grand Final. And you've got the Storm playing a preliminary final on Friday night as well. So there's so much going on. It's just across the road from the footy festival they have in Yarra Park. I think it's a sensational idea. And if they get a sellout crowd tomorrow, Thursday night, I would expect this to become a regular feature of the NBL season.
Yeah, it's perfect scheduling. As I said, I think they've done extremely well. It's another example of that. You know, you get the classic throwdown. You get it in, you know, the sporting capital of this country, without a doubt. With all, as you mentioned, all the events that are occurring. I mean, you've got, you know, Melbourne, of course, that have got their support. Then you've got the AFL Grand Final with two interstate teams. But the interesting thing with that, just quickly, they're also got a significant connection in Melbourne. So you've got those fans, you know, South Melbourne and Fitzroy back in the day. So there's a lot to draw upon. And I think, you know, look, the league can really pump that up and, you know, pump up as a being a part of that kind of what's really sporting nirvana. if you love sport in Melbourne this week. So yeah, I think it will become a bit of a regular on the calendar, to be honest.
I'm really looking forward to getting back behind the mic as well. I'll be calling the game for the Collective on Thursday night. We're on air from believe, 7 o'clock. And myself and Tom Hirsch will be behind the mic for that game as well. So tune in if you want a different perspective. It's a first in 3 years for me to get behind the mic for a NBL regular season game.
It's just like riding a bike, mate. You'll be fine. You're a pro. I mean, look at, you know, you did a fantastic job with the Rugby League State of Origin and, you know, amongst many other things, AFL that you've called as part of AFL Nation. So, yeah, you'll kill it, no doubt. And so will Mr. Hirsch, by the way, who's an outstanding analyst, you know, as everyone knows.
And we already had a great dress rehearsal with that preseason game.
Yeah, you did. There you go. Exactly.
This one's going to be really interesting because on paper you'd say Melbourne United, and they have had Southeast Melbourne's measure over the last couple of years. But I don't know, man. Something about tomorrow night, Mitch Creek is going to be back in the building as well. It's a chance for him to say goodbye to the Phoenix faithful. Sold out crowd. They were torched a little bit in certain quarters of the media this week, particularly Nathan Sobey. This does have a bit of an upset alert on it.
Yeah. No, you're right. It is interesting. I mean, obviously, yeah, a bit was said about Nathan. So, you know, we do know he responds well to that kind of criticism, if you like. So I'm expecting him to bounce back. Look, I still have faith in this team. You know, I think they did show against Perth. They're going to score a lot of points this year. There's no doubt about that. Where they have to fix things up, and I know I've kind of gone on with it a bit, And I'm sure they know this, is they've got to figure out a way to kind of toughen up defensively. That's what's going to get them where they want to go this season, because they've got enough firepower to outscore anybody. But the problem is if they're giving up 100+, then it's not going to get it done for them. So, but you're right. I think it's their home game. You know, obviously the look and feel of John Kane is going to be completely different to when United plays. So they're going to feel comfortable in their own environment. Jordan Hunter, I think, is going to be huge because, yeah, that was a fantastic start for him. 19 points and 7 boards against the Wildcats on 8 of 11 shooting, and, you know, just showed he's going to cause the Melbourne interior some problems, because if you look at Melbourne's front line, if there is a weakness to that group, you could say it's that front court. And I think Jordan can do some damage, especially running the pick and roll with Derek Walton Jr. So I'm expecting Nathan Sobey to step up. I think the two imports will be better for their run last week, Joe Wieskamp and Matty Hurt. And it wouldn't surprise. I still think Melbourne are the favourites, and I will tip them to win.
Yeah,
but it wouldn't surprise me if the Phoenix got over the top of them. Yeah,
odds wise, I think they're way over the odds. Southeast Melbourne $3.13 at the moment. I think
there you go.
I think that's crazy, to be honest with you. I think that's insanity. Sure. They should not be anywhere near that. So I'm tipping Melbourne, but like I said, this has upset alert on it. Friday night, Illawarra, Brisbane. Now, again, I'm going to hold fire on the Brisbane Bullets, and I'm just going to look at it as a whole new... Let's forget last week happened. On merits, you would say Illawarra should get the job done, particularly at home, but I don't know if we see the better version of Brisbane, if they're going to get it all their own way like they did last week against Cairns.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's interesting. I mean, you know, what did Justin Shuler say, the head coach of the Bullets? He called it pathetic. You know, even though...
He said it, not me.
Yeah, I know. It's hard for me to go past Illawarra at home. It's near impossible. I just think this team with, you know, Justin Tatum's had an entire preseason, which he didn't have the last time, and still led them to the semifinals. So, and this was from a guy who's only... coaching experience was high school. So before he came to the Hawks. So again, I love how they've recruited. The guys that they've kept are a year older and a year wiser and a year more developed. So, you know, I just thought the Brisbane front court was really disappointing last week. And Tyrell Harrison, you know, for all the hype that was around him during the blitz kind of reverted to type. And I spoke about this previously, and that you kind of just keep waiting for this bust out. Who, you know, is Tyrell Harrison going to be the guy? And we still haven't seen it. Not to say we won't see it this year, because I do have a lot of time for him. But again, it's, look, this has been going on for a while. So he's got a lot to prove for me. He really does. And look, the positive was they scored 35 points in the final quarter last week, the Bullets, and almost ran down the Breakers, who really dominated them for three quarters. Keandre Cook had a really good start as one American import. James Bateman, very disappointing. You know, 3 points and four assists ain't going to do it. You know, Dengadel, a little bit quiet, compared to what he showed in the Blitz. But really, Harrison, Rocco Zukarski, and I know Zukarski's still very young, maybe too much to put on his shoulders. And Casey Prather, probably need a bit more from him. So Brisbane have got a lot to prove in this ball game. But Illawarra, with that front line, what I talked about before, Froling, Olbridge, Darius Days, just look way too tough. And then Tyler Harvey, he's going to do his thing. And Hyung Jung Lee, you know, he's going to be that guy that's going to knock down threes and spread the floor. They're going to run the floor. They're going to play hard D. I could see Illawarra winning this by 15 plus, in all honesty. So I'm not saying I'm off Brisbane Island. Like, you know, you're still going to, you know, stake your claim there, at least for now. But for right now, I just think Illawarra is a way better team.
The Bullets start to the season is a rough one because they had that last week, of course. That was really one, if you looked at the schedule, that was one they should have been winning. Of course, they nearly pulled it out of the fire after they completely tanked it in the first three quarters. Yeah. Then you've got Sydney next week at Boondall, which is going to be a very tough ask despite the home court advantage. Fascinated to see what the crowd is there next week as well. Then you've got Southeast Melbourne down here the following week, which is a bit of a coin flip. And then round five, a return engagement with the Breakers at the Brisbane Entertainment Centre. So this team could be 0-4. But yeah, even if they are 0-4, unless they play particularly terribly, I'm not ready to throw them in yet. There's something about them.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm certainly not doing that. But starting 0-4 in a league as competitive as this one isn't ideal. Having said that, Illawarra were in the absolute toilet last season, and we all know how that turned out. So, you know, anything can happen.
It's like everyone was just waiting for me to bury the Bullets on this program. I'm not going to do that yet. Not yet. Perth, Sydney, Friday night. This is going to be box office.
What a blockbuster, man. I mean, it just sets up beautifully. You know, the Kings spending the week there, and we Gorge mentioned it, how important it was to kind of be there and, you know, guys having dinner together and, you know, basically living together for a week in the one environment, not having any of the distractions that you sometimes get at home. Perth looked sensational last week for the most part. You know, I mean, I think John really would want them to defend a bit better. Clearly, that he doesn't want to be giving up 98 points. And he's coming up against a team that, you know, man for man might be the most offensively explosive group in the league. And certainly one of the most talented teams in the league that, I think, again, with Perth, this is a huge game. It sounds funny to say. It's only round two, right? They've only played the one game. But I kind of feel like, you know, this is the one where Perth fans can sort of stay about this team. Yeah, we're legit. We're a legitimate championship contender. Bryce looks like he's on a mission. Pinder was fantastic last week. Already talked about the depth, the increased depth, the kids that they have, Benny Hanschel, Elijah Pepper, Ethan Almansa, you know, Doolittle's going to be outstanding again in his own quiet way. So, you know, if they can get across the line, and I mean, obviously that Bryce Cotton, Jalen Adams matchup alone, worth the price of admission. And we've seen that before when those two guys go head to head. You know, we've seen some classic individual battles with those two. Sydney with obviously Cam Oliver, you know, Xavier Cooks and Kelly LePepe up front are going to cause some problems. And, Bol Kwol, Alex Tui, you know, just the list goes on with this group. So, yeah, this is a fabulous matchup. It wouldn't surprise me if it went to overtime, and I'll just give it to the home team. You know, I think Perth, I really like the vibe. I know it's early, Perth fans, you can yell at me and all that, but I just have a feeling about this group. I'm really liking the vibe so far, yeah. So, from a Kings tragic as I am, it's hard for me to say that, but I suspect that the Wildcats will just get across the line.
I'm flipping the other way. I think Sydney go in there and they take it.
Okay.
I think Sydney go in and take it and just send a little bit of a statement on the back of just the way things ended last week. And they're having also the extra week in Perth and being able to have that time together, I think it's going to pay dividends for them. Plus, we know Brian Gorgian has had a couple of big moments in that building, so that would be a nice little stake in the ground for Sydney early on. If they can get it done, I think they will. Cairns and Adelaide, you wouldn't expect anything, to be honest with you, knowing this Adelaide 36ers team. I would like to see Cairns get a home win because, like I said at the start of the season, Cairns need to bank those wins and then really focus on what they do on the road if they are to make playoffs. But, yeah, I don't know what we're going to see from Adelaide.
Yeah, it could be one of those kind of early inconsistencies, and they kind of did it in one game, really.
Cairns could beat them by 30 or get beat by 30.
That's what it has that feeling of, doesn't it? Look, the Taipans, still early days for them, and look, they didn't show much. Yeah, you know, let's be fair. It was a disappointing performance against the Hawks. But then, as I've just said, I think this Hawks team's a legitimate championship contender with the roster they put together. Look, the Taipans without Taron Armstrong, it's hard to tip them. I mean, he's a serious talent. He really is. You know, people really haven't seen him yet, but there's a reason that Adam Ford pretty much gave him the keys to the Ferrari as such and said, "Mate, have at it. You're my guy. You're going to run this thing." And now without him, and you know, kind of what you're going to use Rob Edwards, who's way more comfortable as a two man than he is as a floor general, and that's going to hurt them, I think. And you know, they've the depth isn't great for them. But having said that, you know, we know what they're like at home. The Orange Army will be up and about. The first home game for the Taipans, Adelaide, who the hell knows what you're going to get? You're either going to get the team that got destroyed in the first couple of minutes by the Kings, or you're going to get the team that fought back, really showed some great character and great fight to get back in that game against an opponent with all that firepower. So, you know, it is a tough one to call. Probably a little bit of the heart talking, but and only because, you know, I'm such a huge fan of 40. Let's say the Taipans in what's probably going to be, even at home, a little bit of an upset, I would imagine.
Tasmania's going to raise the championship banner to the rafters on Saturday night when they host Melbourne United. That is going to sting like crazy for the United players. And as much as you would think on paper, Tasmania will go in with the emotion and the packed-out crowd down there and get the job done. I've seen it too many times across too many leagues on nights where teams raise a championship banner to the rafters that they come out afterwards and they fall flat. And I think, if anything, this might prove a nice little incentive for Melbourne to go down there and get it done.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, especially after what happened last year and Craig Sword making his first appearance. So I'll be interested to see at home, that is. I'll be interested to see how he fits into this group. Look, they'll be rabid down there because that's my State Bank Arena. Those fans are phenomenal. And more than once, and Scotty Roth has said this, more than once they've been a huge factor in the outcome of a game purely because of the way they push this team and the way they support them. And the noise that they make, and they're on the officials, they're on the opposing team constantly. So from that perspective, they have that advantage. But I can't go past Melbourne. I think Tasmania it's gonna take them a while to figure things out without McVay. And I know that sounds, you know, funny given the fact that they've already had a few games without him to kind of get used to the idea. But you know, these are the sorts of games Jack would just absolutely excel in. At home and not having that great inspiration that he provides is going to take some getting used to, is what I'm saying. And I think Melbourne are just a bit more settled. You know, Tasmania don't quite have the same kind of weaponry that we've seen in previous years. And I think Melbourne gets them.
Kings Hawks on Sunday. Throw form out the window when it comes to these games. It doesn't matter. These are all self-contained beauties, and this is going to be sensational.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I've spoken about this often when you kind of look at the history of games between these two teams, that more often than not, there's been times where the raging hot favourite gets knocked over by the underdog, the raging underdog, as it were. And we've seen that plenty of times, you know, from Illawarra's standpoint. So it could go either way. But look, I think all the hype around the Kings, both teams coming off games, Illawarra won't have long to travel. Sydney, obviously, there's that question mark about, you know, as Gorge said in the interview, they're going to get in about 5 p.m. It's a 2:30 p.m. game, which is early for the Sunday afternoon games. So, you know, will they have enough recovery time? That's a question mark. But they've certainly got the depth to cover for that. You know, that I think Gorge is still figuring out his rotations as well. So you'd expect to see, you know, in the Perth game, those guys play, you know, pretty balanced minutes, I would think. So they should be relatively or as fresh as they could be against Illawarra. Both teams with enormous strength in different ways. Kings with their depth, their incredible perimeter defense, from the wing, you know, the athleticism and mobility up front. Illawarra with that monster front line that's going to crash the boards and attack the Kings in the paint. And you couple that with, you know, the likes of Harvey, who's mercurial, and Trey Kill, who can fill it up. So it's going to be a hell of a battle. I think the Kings will get it. I think the excitement of Brian Georgian's first game back at home in a number of years. And, a Kudos Bank Arena crowd that it'll be packed. You know, I mean, I'm not talking packed as in 18,000. I mean, it's going to be, I'd say, in the kind of the 12,000 range. I'd be surprised if it was less than that.
I can't wait to watch this one. I love these games. Absolutely love these games. I would love to be up there on Sunday to see it in person. But if you're in the Sydney area, or if you're a Hawks fan down the Gong and you already haven't got plans on Sunday, go. Trust me. Go. If you need to go and boo Gorge and get it out of your system, go. If you want to go and just stick it up Big Brother Sydney, go. These games are going to be magnificent this season. And I am very interested to see the reaction that Gorge does get when he goes back down to Wollongong for the first time.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be very, very interesting. I mean, there's a lot of love for what he did in those two seasons that he was down there. But he's back with the old enemy. And that's all that'll matter to those Hawkheads. Now, they will go after him with a passion. Even people in that crowd who I know, you know, were very friendly with him, you know, as you know, I mean, he's a fantastic human being, obviously, and, you know, he's made so many great connections and relationships over the years. So there'll be people that are actually, you know, good friends with him off the court, but once he steps on the floor, he's going to cop it in spades. Can't wait for that one.
I'm going Kings, but not with any great confidence. You can put an upset alert on this game too with the Hawks. Just considering as well the travel factor for Sydney. And, yeah, the Hawks, they do have a history, particularly in that building, of going there and upsetting the apple cart. New Zealand and South East Melbourne finish up the slate on Sunday. I like the Phoenix, but this might be a bridge too far for them.
Yeah, after throwdown, possibly. Having to go overseas, it's, you know, three-hour trip across. It's not a huge imposition. It's not like a, what is it, 4.5 to Perth. But
Put it this way, Matt. If they win on Thursday night, they're less likely to win Sunday than the other way around.
You don't think they could take the momentum over? Yeah, possibly. It's a fascinating one for me because I think, Freddie Gillespie should play, having served his one-game suspension. So you'd expect him, he will play, I would think. So, you know, that'll be a help. They need more out of Jonah Bolden, clearly. There's no two ways about that. So I'd expect Jonah to step up. He's an interesting case because, you know, he's sort of a bit of a unicorn in this league. You know, that 6'11", stretch the floor guy who can block shots, run the floor and rebound, but didn't do too much of that. Obviously, in the first game at Hoops Fest, 7 points and 6 boards. So you'd expect to see him step up. Parker Jackson Cartwright's outstanding, 20 points, 11 dimes in his first action. So he's going to be a really tough cover for Derek Walton Jr. I assume will get get the look at him first, if not Nathan Sobey. So, yeah, I'm not sure whether the Breakers have the depth. I think Phoenix, I sort of look at Jordan Hunter to have a big game. I think Angus Glover will have a big game as well. And I think the two imports will step up. So I'm actually going to tip them. I think the Phoenix will get that W. Won't be easy, but, it's going to take a while for New Zealand to figure things out. Even though they got the W first up, which was great, against Brisbane, but then that, you know, Brisbane were pathetic in their own head coach's words for three quarters. So how much can you take out of that? I think the Phoenix are going to be a significantly tougher challenge.
I'm just going with the Breakers purely because it's their home opener. But that being, like I said, if the Phoenix are victorious tonight in the throwdown, I think the come down factor off that might open the door up for the Breakers a little bit more than if it was the other way around. Put it this way, if the Phoenix lose by a bucket tonight, they're going to go over there on Sunday and they're going to put a hurting on the Breakers. It's just one of those things.
Mm.
I don't rate the Breakers that highly at all, but it's purely going to be the come down factor from the throwdown, because are we going to be talking about the Phoenix finally winning a throwdown with Mike Kelly at the helm in front of a packed out crowd on the public holiday eve during grand final week, or are they going to go down by a bucket again and still be smarting heading over to Auckland on Sunday? Yep. Or are they going to get a hurting at the hands of United and be in an even fouler mood getting on that plane? So I think the events of tonight will dictate the events of Sunday to a certain extent. That being said, Phoenix could go and sweep the weekend, and if they do, then we need to reassess the Phoenix.
Yeah, the narrative changes, doesn't it? Absolutely.
So that's your weekend. It gets underway tonight with the throwdown at John Cain Arena. Just a few tickets left as of last night. I'd expect it to be a full house by the time we get there tonight. And we now go for real. We had Hoops Fest, which is a great start to the season, a little appetite setter, but now it's the real stuff. The home and away begins. Maddie, what's going to be on the way out the door as we finish up for this week? What's going to be the headline when we come back together next week? What are we going to be talking about off the top?
Perth outlasts arch rival Kings in a classic at RAC.
I like it. I'm going with Mike Kelly's Phoenix finally win a throwdown in a classic. If the preseason game was any indication,
yep,
and they've had a few weeks as well to think about that, I think they might just get them. I've got the big upset alert on this one tonight. And that's nothing against Melbourne United. It will read nothing into Melbourne United. I think it's just in the Phoenix's playbook tonight. A lot will dictate on that, because Melbourne's going to be fine. If they lose tonight, they're going to be fine. We know that. Hmm. But this is Southeast Melbourne's moment to prove and show everybody that this is a different team to the side that went 10-18 last season. And there's no better opportunity to do that in what's going to be a playoff-like atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we shall see. We're back next week for the round table, our debrief from round two, our preview into round three. Of course, if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast. Just search for the round table wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, all of the regulars. We are all over the place. Thanks so much for joining us for the round table this week. We'll catch you again next week. Enjoy your NBL this weekend. It's going to be a beauty.